morning's reading is from John chapter 12, verses 12 to 19. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, and these things had been done to him. Now, the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him."
I don't know if you can see what is on the screen, but in the jungles of Serengeti to the South Ruangwa National Parks, when you are walking, you have to be careful. You have to get it right, you know, or else you might just walk into that. That's what happened the time of Palm Sunday. The disciples, the authorities, they just didn't get it. What was Jesus doing? It is my hope and prayer that from today up to Easter Sunday, I'll be talking about this topic, this theme, that they didn't get it. Because you have to get it. Christ was misunderstood, not only by the religious leaders of the time, but even his own disciples. The question is not whether they did not understand him, but whether ourselves, with the resources that we have, the stories of the disciples, the leading of the Holy Spirit, are we getting it right? Have we understood Christ? Christ came to liberate us, to give us freedom from the power of sin, but also to reconcile us to God so that we can participate in his mission. We can help actualize his kingdom, awaiting for that time of his second coming when it will fully come. But if we do not care about the poor, if we do not love mercy, we do not proclaim the gospel, the list is endless. Probably like those, the crowds who are following Jesus at Palm Sunday. The good news is that as we discuss this, it's an opportunity that we can refocus through the power of the Holy Spirit. If we didn't get it, if we haven't gotten it right, we have a chance. As the writer of Ecclesiastes says, that a barking dog is better than a dead lion. Why? Because the living still have a chance. They still hope. Many did not get Jesus and what he was doing, especially that day, which today we are remembering, the Palm Sunday. They didn't get what was Jesus going to do. For Jesus, it was time to glorify his Father through death. And that death was going to give you and me and the rest of the world freedom. But what the crowd thought was that Jesus had come to liberate them from the Roman rule. They saw Jesus as someone who did not fear the authorities. And actually, that time, news of him raising Lazarus from the dead was just all over. And there was this frenzy. People were following this guy who is popular. He might just be our next king. Actually, from the story we have read, the religious leaders were looking for Jesus because he had destabilized their comfort zone. Their popularity was at stake, so they needed to pin him down. The crowds saw Jesus as their liberator from the Roman rule. And that's the reason why they used palms to welcome him, because they looked at him as a revolutionary leader. Before that time, since the Maccabees, the palm had become a symbol of Jewish statehood. Actually, the Jewish revolution coins had palms on them. So it was about the Jewish statehood, not about the kingdom of God. The palms, the crowd saw that Jesus had come to give them back the kingdom to them, and the Romans would be chucked out by this Jesus. This shows how they perceived him. To them, he was someone who dared the authorities. The authorities saw him as a competitor. They had to deal with such a one. And that is why, from the text we have read, in verses 13 and 14, you hear they are saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." This is a quotation of Psalm 118. But then they added the phrase, "Blessed is the king of Israel," which is not in Psalm 118. They were trying to use the scriptures for their own gain. They shouted, "Hosanna!" What they were saying literally was, "Give us salvation now. Save us from the Roman rule now." Like I said, they manipulated Psalm 118 by adding, "Blessed is the king of Israel." Haven't we seen? I have seen marches, protests against asylum seekers or refugees, and you see some people holding placards saying, "We are Christians and we want these guys to be out of here." Haven't you seen bishops, pastors in the USA blessing Trump and saying, "This is the saint of God, that he should wage war and liberate us"? Sometimes Christianity has been used for people's own gain, just like the crowds at Palm Sunday. We have to remember that Christ came to fight all forms of injustices. And we must not shy away to stand for the weak, the poor, and the marginalized in our societies. And when Jesus saw what was happening, when he perceived what the crowds were doing, that is the reason why he used a donkey and not a horse. The significance of a donkey was that it was never used in war. Christ was trying to tell the people that he's coming as a prince, a king of peace. Sometimes we have to challenge certain traditions to bring about justice. What Jesus did was transforming the conflict which the crowds were starting or had started or were picturing. He did not try to change it because the crowd was already in the mood, but he tried to transform it. How did he do that? He demilitarized it Instead of using a horse, which was used in war, he decided to use a donkey. And that is why the Roman authorities, you don't hear that they came, because what Jesus did was showing to them that actually he did not come for war by coming on a donkey. He was sending a message that his kingdom was that of peace, gentleness, and universal tolerance. He was fulfilling this scripture in Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, foal of a donkey. And when he had entered Jerusalem, Christ wept. He wept for the crowds because they didn't get it. And soon, later on, the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed because the people did not understand the cry of Jesus. He says, I hope that if you could see that which gives you peace, that which God has brought for you, how I wish you could see that. But because you did not see it, no stone will be left unturned. He was prophesying because they didn't get it. Until today, the Bible in the book of Romans tells that Christ is still crying for us. Maybe sometimes we don't get it. How does he continue to cry for us? The Bible says he continues to pray for us. He intercedes on our behalf. He cries on the throne of God, the holy seat of mercy, and is asking God the Father, have mercy on them. Give them a chance. At least another chance. Let the Spirit of truth do. Christ, even today, he's crying that we may get it right. It is my prayer that we may have some, if not all of us, the sons and daughters of God, who can say and pledge that we are here to fight injustice together. We are here to share the gospel. We are here to send the peace of God which Christ came with. Remember, it's not whether they got it or they didn't get it, but it's whether we still do not get it. I hope you and me will together continuously join those to preach the gospel of peace and give hope to those who do not find it.